Today's guest on a Bitcoin.com news podcast is Chan Lin of LBank Labs. Welcome to the show, Chang.
Thank you for inviting. Yep, glad to be here.
Glad to have you. So would you please start by telling us a little bit about, you know, your background? You have a lot of, you know, very extensive background in the field.
Yeah, sure. Well, personally, I've been in the space for a bit more than 5 years, 5+ years. So I was lucky enough to be part of the ICO boom back in 2017, went through the whole bull cycle, bear cycle, and then the last recent one, DeFi summer, all this other stuff. So yeah, that's actually like these 5+ years gave me a lot of insights and knowledge while being in the field, being on the investment side, and you know, working with tons of our portfolios during good times and bad times. We just learned a lot during this period, these years, right? While knowing that crypto itself is merely a bit more than a decade long industry. So being here more than half of it, actually, I think allow me to see and yeah, being experienced, walk through quite tons of information.
Great. Yeah. So you have a lot of experience to share. So let's first get into LBank Labs and how you choose your current investments. If you can just explain the investment strategy that you set out, and you know how you view investments in the Web3 and blockchain field.
Yeah, sure. Well, as I said previously, that we went in quite intensively study on the market recently, and as LBank Labs here, I'm part of the IC board members. So also helping them to manage some of the deal flows as well as some of the folks here, guiding them the direction how I see it is going forward. And we actually came up with a slogan called The Other Angle. Because after seeing all these changes were back in 2017, there was the general ICO boom where ERC-20 became the standard. And then how we saw Ethereum, the layer one, the wars between layer ones, where it is much visible, which layer one would remain. While back in 2017, there were just tons of layer ones. Everyone wanted to create their own layer ones. And then down the line, there was a cross chain, whether it's Polkadot or Cosmos. And then now there's also layer two. So, it is very difficult for people to think the investment pieces as layer one, layer two, middleware, which actually we are very keen on middleware. And then there's dApps, right? And within middleware, you can also divide to upper middle and lower middleware. Nonetheless, coming back to the general topic here is that when we also invest into funds and not just projects. So we are actually very soon by end of Q1, we're going to LP to 11 crypto funds. And well, we have portfolio over 50s, in the last year and a half. And before that, my personal experience back in the 2017 era, I was lucky enough to invest over 100 projects back then. So it's a collective, three digits, stop counting after 100, really. And then we also did some of the secondary as well. So we are quite flexible in terms of our investment techniques. However, come back to the thesis that that you were asking, right? So very often when we split the funds, they say, oh, we invest in layer twos, we invest into middleware, we invest into dApps. Either of this classification we think is correct, you can look at it this way. But however, internally, we call it the tech view. You look at the industry, the tech layers. But then where would the exchange, centralized exchange, where would that be? If you'll be wanting to invest into a market maker, or if you want to invest into a liquidated trading teams. You don't really see them in a tech view. Therefore, there's a second view that typical people adapt. We call it the ecosystem view, where there's centralized exchange that's, you know, its supplier through the service of centralized exchange. You have got FAs, marketing platforms, media, magazines, all these other sectors we call ecosystem that surrounds the crypto blockchain space, right? For example, Bitcoin.com is a media. And then you don't really find it in the tech view. So we see the tech view, there's the ecosystem view. And then after that, there's very often people just say, you know, I invest into DAOs, I invest in DeFi, Metaverse, all this other stuff, which is a particular sector. So when people say they invest into GameFi, they very often invest into guilds, games, publishers, as well as infrastructure for the GameFi ecosystem, which is also fine. So there's a general three or four most adapted way of explaining what where you want to invest. However, well, we discussed it very thoroughly last year through the whole Q4 within our own research team. We felt that this is not, I mean, all of above is correct, but we came up with a different perception. We call it PSE, Platform Standard Ecosystem. Why we would say so? Because, well, instead of just locking ourselves in a box of tech view of between the stacks, or locking ourselves up in the ecosystem, or locking us into a particular sector, we felt that there's horizontal synergies between them. So what we have come to our analysis is that, well, in the last bull run that we just had right now, there was a rush of institutions' money, right? That was unseen before in 2017, or like a very small bull run 2019, right? So we come to realize that institutions are become very aware of our sector. They want to come in, and all the money that we saw right now is a tiny bit of institutional funds. Because once regulation is more clear, we'll be expecting a bigger wave of them to come in. However, financial input is not all. What we believe that for the next bull run, really for it to sustain, and it's actually the user. The user must come on board in a way, because the user's experience will really make the industry more stable in terms of pricing, in terms of usage. The user are the best filter of user experiences. We will by then know which project shall stay, and if some of the project is good because they really provide value to the users, rather than just, you know, pumping down a secondary market trick out there, right? And the people follow and they lose money by doing so. So we believe the next round really is very much user concentrated with the money that will come in. And this we call the platform, the P, the first P, because we believe that any of those projects that will score, we evaluate, we really score them, whether this project can become a platform that users would like to use, whether with a high DAU, MAU, or whatever other metrics, that this really becomes a platform for them to rely on or to suck into, right? And then with this concept, this is the first P, right, as I said. And the second, standard. We want to invest into a project that could potentially become a standard for the future. And when I say standard, I don't really just say patent, typical copyright way. It's more Web3, meaning that some part of the code is a standard already by nature. For example, ERC-20 is a token, right? It becomes a standard for token issuance. Other protocols use it as well with the same formula. So 1155 or 721 for NFTs. And this is for the token standard, like people can easily understand. What we also meant is that the way how I explain to my own team about standard is, for example, look at Uniswap. The NMA mechanism that Uniswap had in the code, the 20 lines of code, were forked over and over and over in the DeFi summer. That code became the standard of logic, how the DEX shall work. So even though Uniswap did not particularly had, well, they are going through the process of patenting, but then this is something what we are looking for, that we want to find a project that either the code, either the concept, or somehow become a flagship of a market standard. That's why we call it S. The last one, ecosystem. We believe that many of micro sector today will be eventually grow. If the users comes on board, institution comes on board, they will eventually grow, become ecosystem of its own. Let's look into an example we had. I always give the same example as well. Look at NFTs, CryptoKitties. In 2017, it was a rush of everyone wanted to have a CryptoKitty. It was cool. It's the cool thing to have or to play with. But you know, it didn't last too long. And then people almost forgotten about NFTs. Whereas today, NFT itself, we believe it's a separate ecosystem. NFT holders doesn't necessarily have to be crypto holders. And you can have an NFT bull market or bear market, very separate from token bull market and bear market, right? So that become a separate ecosystem of its own. Therefore, we have identified few sectors that could be potentially an ecosystem of its own. Therefore, it is the right time for us to seed investment into them. And the reason why we're looking at PSE, it is another horizontal view of categorizing everything, whether it's tech view, whether it's by sectors or whether it's by ecosystem. We want to evaluate projects from this perspective, and it's a bit different. That's why we call it the other angle, right? But with the other fund that we spoke that is part of our portfolio, they actually really liked it, the idea, and they embraced the concept here with us, right?
That's very interesting. Can you share some of the, besides NFTs, other subjects that you think can become their own ecosystems?
Yeah. Well, there are two sectors we're still starting today, but we have identified them as potential to become a separate ecosystem. One is storage. I mean, storage is categorized typically as the, if you, from the tech layer, it will be categorized as a middleware, right? The storage part. However, if you really look into Filecoin or Arweave, the movement they are doing, they are trying to become more and more L1 and potentially L2 within, right? So there's a chance that with the storage, once they break through the bottleneck, or basically the tipping point of sustainability and usability, friendliness, the cost is actually way cheaper than AWS. There might be a big wave of small, medium business adapting them down the line if they just break the tipping point, which we believe is not too far. It might be 2 or 3 or 4 years away from us, right? Because if you study the detail of how the ecosystem grow and those projects that are building on them, we believe there's a high chance of it. That's why today, when you speak about about storage, your first of your head is, okay, there's Filecoin. Going to the price went like crazy, it got dumped, and then Arweave as well. But you know, let's put the price point aside. Let's just look at the way how they are evolving. They have a high chance of becoming their own ecosystem as the whole blockchain space grows. There will be few verticals that you know will be able to sustain of their own own economics within. And we believe storage could be one of those. And we are looking into those closely nowadays. And second one is actually permission DeFi. Permission DeFi is that we believe that with the regulation coming on board, there's a high possibility that permission DeFi will become also one of the mainstream moving forward. Right? I believe the second part that could become ecosystem with own as permission DeFi, there's actually a ton of stuff in there, right? That such as real world asset, bridge, and you know, but this sector is particularly unique because its involvement is very much connected with the regulations in different places. So you may see a different kind of permission DeFi in different regions, Europe, US, Asia, or whichever other regions. And it may be a bit more complex and a bit slower in growth. And we're still looking for other opportunities that could become a separate ecosystem sector.
Do you think
these two, we believe, is a highly possible. These two are highly possible.
Mm-hmm. So, do you believe that countries that are currently, you know, are becoming more inhospitable to DeFi are going to have sets of regulations in the future that are meant to encourage the industry?
Possibly, and the way how we want to look at DeFi is that the DeFi we have seen up to now today may become actually infrastructure of permission DeFi. I mean, they do have the DeFi code name, right, on them itself, but we see them as a potential liquidity pool or liquidity solution that could be connected to traditional institutions that actually we could refer them now transforming the dApps for code into infrastructure play game. So they would have like 2C model as well as 2B2C model.
Got it. So can you share with us some of the more interesting projects that you came across, in the realms of investments that you've seen by Elbank Labs?
I mean, yeah, like very recently we are discussing something that would fall into the bracket of P platform. Some of the projects we are seeing recently, for example, it's, Voodoo, one of the largest publisher in the world for casual games. Right, in Web2 spaces, they are moving to Web3, and they are issuing they are setting up these Web3 projects coming out on board, and we believe as one of the good use case where you will see that you know the real Web2 gamers moving to Web3, while knowing that such a publisher having so many studios on their belt, can produce a lot of blockchain games. And we believe that that's a very interesting because it actually brings the users on forward from Web 2 to Web 3. At the same time, they aggregate their games together in a very unique way in the details. Obviously, I can't speak too much of those details as part of the NDA on those the token economics and stuff like that. But it's very interesting to see and exciting to see some of these Web 2 giants so confident and moving forward to Web 3. And yeah, tackling a very interesting approach towards this. And that that project is something what we would categorize them under the platform, the P, right? Because they are bringing users as a platform. There's it's a just new way of looking into things with their own design. And besides that, also we are looking to some project that has a possibility of aggregating users through different vertical horizons. So.
And what industry do you think will propel Web3 adoption most in this next year? Is it going to be games?
Well, games is one of those, but I wouldn't like, personally, I'm not super big on X2 and I never was, just because I've seen too many of these kind of schemes back in the days already. And it sounds very new to a lot of people. They just kind of block it since 2020. But we have seen tons of this kind of projects since, like in the 2017 bull runs and stuff. So I've never been really big on X2Earn because I don't think it's very sustainable. However, a lot of games had this kind of story, which I hope they will change by the time they release the tokenomics. That's why I wouldn't put them as such a top priority, even though they do have the possibility of bringing their web to users. Not all of those. Are good to do so. What I would see that something would push our industry forward still. I think it still cannot get too far away from financials, meaning that, you know, once the money comes in, things will start rolling. That's a brutal reality in front of us. Money coming in, meaning from the institutions, which I really believe the next step is to have a more clear regulatory framework for the institutions to come in. Once they come in, money flows in, the product gets better built. There's money for promotion, marketing, that really start to attract retailers over. So I still believe the first move is still money. Money in, product goes up, attention goes up, marketing goes up, experience goes up. People comes over and retain, not necessarily for each particular sector.
And what parts of the world do you think are headed toward that regulation? And, you know, when do you think we should expect it? Is it a year ahead? Is it years away?
I don't think it's years away. I would rather believe that, depending on where I sit, but then I would rather believe that we're a year and a half away, which will somehow fit into our typical 4-year bull run. And I do believe there's one of those two will be US, right? Still Americans, just the size of it, that matters. Even with certain kind of regulatory push forward, allowing a few extra percentage of TradFi coming over, that's still quite nice, right? And the second, actually, I'm believing in the Middle East are doing a lot very aggressively recently. And there's a big chance of Middle East money inflow as well.
Middle East, you're talking about UAE and...
UAE, Saudi, all these regions, right? I mean, they are rather wealthy. They got a lot of hot money, so-called. That money wants to invest, want to put somewhere. And yeah, crypto does somehow fit into their framework. They're usually a bit lenient on the regulatory, yet provide enough protection. For many, saying always, right? Mm-hmm.
No, we've seen a lot of projects, either move there or move there, have some exposure to that market. Recently. About the current state of the, crypto market? Asking you about prices. Is it a good time to invest right now?
Totally. I mean, I have personally, as well as with the fund here, almost invest nothing for last year, since January last year. We probably invest the primary market, no more than 4 or 5 projects, and typically all much smaller ticket, just because we don't think the timing is right. But we believe that Q2 this year onwards, probably it's going to be the best 4 quarters to inject capitals into primary projects.
Can you explain why?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a typical bull cycle. You don't invest when the market is too bullish because the project becomes super expensive. They overvalue themselves. You know, institutions fight for allocations, and it's not really a typical the best scenario for investors then. So you don't invest when the market goes up. You don't invest when the market is up. You don't invest when the market goes down, because a lot of people are still in the mindset of, you know, that they can raise millions within a week or days, right? And their valuation is still up. So, you know, you have to let the market cool down. And I think we're almost there. And the market has almost come back to the rationality of, you know, reasonable sense.
Gotcha. So it's an investor's market right now.
I think we very soon will. Not yet, but very soon will. But of course, the project is still a good project, will always get funded. That's, you know, but the only difference is that they get funded at rather reasonable conditions.
Gotcha. So what advice would you give, you know, any project builders right now that are looking to raise funds?
Oh, I'll suggest them to, you know, not give up. One reason we have not been investing because we also wanted to see which companies are really dedicated. They didn't come in for a formal fund or a quick raise, get some money and then do something else. We really want to see that people that are waving, well, the list of a project that is our observation list, that simply want to make sure that the founders are really, really, really into this sector. They really want to do that. So even with bear market, they will put some money of their own, right? So they will bootstrap themselves to come up with an MVP of some sort than just a deck, right? So we do take the due diligence much, you know, in our own pace, and then make sure that the projects, the founders are moving, they are building and not giving up. Those two are key elements that we are looking for right now.
Gotcha. And I wanted to touch on something you've said. On the one hand, you said that, you know, having users is the most important aspect, and you've also mentioned that we need the money to come first. So I wanted to know, how does that work? Like, what comes first? Is it, do we need money first? Money comes first.
Yeah, money comes first. And the thing is, money comes first. You have a project, or basically the price is a good catch to the eye. The user will get interested again, right? They come over here, but then the product quality, the company's positioning must be in a way that is capable of capturing the users. Otherwise, you know, user comes, user goes, and you got a lot of these crypto fads coming in and leaving gamblers, I call. And, you know, they are not really user, you know, they are not the best. Right, we need someone that actually a model, either token economics or a business model, that will actually retain the users even in its bear market.
And do you think that a better approach to getting an option is that, you know, offering a better service than Web2 services, and just being transparent about the Web3 aspects of it? Or should companies or builders just focus on, you know, we're Web3 and that what makes us unique?
I think, yeah, honestly speaking, I mean, a lot of people, there's a buzzword on Web3. It is easy for people to understand. We also use it. But a real good product is actually the user doesn't need to know there's a blockchain behind. So they don't even need to care whether it's block Web2 or Web3 in terms of the product design. It's more conceptual, how people interact within the product. And people don't need to know whether it's Web2 interaction or Web3, because Web3, I think, is much more creator concentrated, right? It reshifts the balance of revenue or profit split between each parties, right? Unlike in Web2 spaces, they got a bit more rigid already in terms of the profit sharing and revenue incomes. So Web3 gives players a new possibility to challenge or reshift the benefit. However, from a user's perspective, the product has to be useful. But he doesn't really need to care that much. He just needs to, okay, I'm using it. I'm getting more than getting less. It's fun. It's easy to use. That's it. Right. So a good product, I believe, that shall also think Web3 in heart, yet be able to compile or, you know, aggregate or collaborate with Web2 sockets. Like, very often you can integrate things with API through Web2 projects too, right? So they had to think smartly how to bring those Web2 people over, yet remain on the Web3 space, because the Web3 space gives them more than just whatever that was in Web2.
Yeah, but one of the issues that people are talking about is making Web3 more accessible to people that are not, you know, necessarily, you know, experts on blockchain and or crypto, you know, and they don't know how to hold a wallet and stuff like that. Do you see any interesting approaches or projects that are going in the direction of, you know, offering a simpler UI or a simpler, you know, entry points for people?
Yeah, there is. I mean, there are quite many projects that are actually trying to do this way. Some of those projects that design themselves that, you know, it's very much email based. You log in your email, they give you a wallet address centrally. Some people don't know what is private key, but then they can get a private key through the server. I mean, even though, you know, having a server that stores your private key is probably not the best idea, but some of the projects are doing so. This concept might be easy for Web2 people to onboard, for them to get in contact first, but not necessarily always the best. But this kind of approach are one of the approaches.
Gotcha. And can you share any more interesting project that you've seen, either that, you know, LBank Labs invested in, yeah, or just the stuff that you see that you're thinking, you know, this might be something we'll invest in?
Yeah, well, there are a few portfolios that has not yet went on live, such as, well, there's like this a project called Open Asset Standard. They provide a full solution for dynamic NFT with a technology that honestly no competitor has done it so far, that allows you to real-time sync on the NFT status, unlike, you know, with all the other solutions, you need to wait a couple of seconds, right? It's a real-time thing. It's not yet released PR, but we just had a great meeting earlier this morning for them to start their marketing campaign. I believe will become very big and viral down the line. And also another, like I said, music streaming fan social platform that we also invested in early stage, not yet released, but then it's called Dope. And yeah, we'll also be out there very soon. There's other project that we are also studying and moving forward, that I believe are very, very interesting, that, you know, fulfills our concept that, you know, really can become big ones upcoming in Q2 or Q3 once they release.
That's great. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see when those are made public.
Totally. Yeah, I'd love to show them once they are out there.
For sure. So where would listeners that are listening to us now that want to keep up with LBank Labs and, you know, maybe if they're in the business, maybe approach, you know, and see where can people contact you?
Well, they could actually, we are rebuilding our web. Once the web is out, it's LBank Labs, and it will be out there. You can just Google search, it will be there. But besides that, you can also always email us at project invest at lbanklabs.com, and then we'll be there.
Great. Hope anyone listening to this and need that is gonna, you know, reach out. So what do you think that people that are listening to us right now need to know about, you know, either about your investment strategy or how should they approach the market right now?
Well, I do believe that, coming back to our investment thesis, PAC, I would love them really to rethink about how they, their client, the networking effect, how to aggregate things that really could fulfill into the PSCP platform concept, and evaluate their project if they are a startup, and if they are retail investors, and then really study the projects first. What do they do that fits into the PSC concept, to evaluate the sensibility and feasibility to invest into them, you know? I think, nonetheless, I believe it is good timing.
Got it. Just a quick follow-up on that, because I've heard it said by, you know, investors that sometimes it's not the actual project or the idea that you have to focus on, but the people, because...
I agree.
Yeah. You know,
The team is actually, through all this investment, I love you. I actually think you brought it up. Throughout this all these years of investment, very often the team shift their concept 3-4 times and very different to what they proposed initially, right? And the final thing is, like, when we invest, we actually spend, I would say, more than half of our discussion on the team. And we have those PAC score, right? It's very important for us. But one of the key metrics is actually, it's the team, nonetheless, it's still the team that we are investing, because, well, we usually write the first check rounds. So not having much build up or not having much statistic out there, it is the people that we're investing, right? So out of the team chemistry, we usually like to have at least one out of those 3 or 4 founders that has had a crypto project in the past already, so knows how the blockchain space works, while remaining are somehow qualified with their experiences or their resources to the project's direction. And what we also pay a lot of attention is the team dynamics between them. How long have known each other? Have they worked before with each other? So they know the private side as well as working life between those partners, as well as the benefits of between these founders, whether they are reasonable, right? We don't always promote that they have equal right, because there's always one person that needs to stand out and make the final call, right?
I wonder, how long does the process take of getting to know a project, you know, enough to make an investment in?
Man, that's like even we in a bear market right now, we do take things a bit slower. In bull market, you know, sometimes it's very much challenging, but thank God that we have got a vast network that we can do diligence on the people easily. But still, like recently, it takes around almost a month from first contact to the last IC decision. I believe it's around a month. You know,
I think that's a very good turnaround. 1 month for making an investment.
Yeah, I mean, from the first day how you got contacted, 2 follow-up call, 3 internal call or chat meetings, and then due diligence on them on their networks. To the final terms, it's like a month. It takes like, you know, if we rush it a bit, it's still like that.
And does it help if they're located in a certain country or a certain city? Is there any importance to that, or you're totally open to everyone all over the world?
We are openly everywhere. Well, we do have team in every continent. Well, not every country, but every continent. So generally speaking, we do have that network tapped into the region. So it also helps us filter out the projects.
Great. Okay, so I want to thank you so much, Cenk, for taking the time and sharing some of your experience with us. And, you know, everybody should follow up on, you know, the LBAC Snag, the website, if, you know, you want to keep up with the new project they're investing in. And, you know, hopefully, if you have a project that you need money, send them an email.
All right, we'll do. Thanks a lot for hosting.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And thank you for listening to the Bitcoin.com news podcast. Follow us for more interviews with the most interesting leaders, founders, and investors in the fields of cryptocurrency, decentralized finance, NFTs, and the metaverse.